there's an answer. If you reach into your soul and the sorrow that you know will melt away, and then it
for tuning in. This is Real Talk with THB. I'm Tamara H. Bowman, your host. This evening, I'm talking to a lady that has received many accolades, and deservingly so. My guest today, Bianca Bailey, is a leader on the move. Bianca gave up music, a musical scholarship to Howard University to pursue a degree in chemical engineering, and she is hard at work bringing practical solutions to the clean water crisis in the developing world. As a member and president of Howard's chapter of Engineers Without Borders, Bianca has traveled to Nairobi, where she and her team help train communities to create biofilters to clean water. Sharma Bianca Bailey, a senior chemical engineer major, has won praise for her work from the White House, which recently named her a champion of change for women and girls in STEM. The award is part of Obama's administration's Winning the Future initiative, which strives to execute the president's plan to out-innovate and out-educate the competition. Bianca, an honor student from Dallas, has interned at NASVIA Department of Defense, ConocoPhillips, as well as conducted groundbreaking research at Carnegie Mellon University in the field of nanotechnology. In addition to her long-term commitment and service to Girls Incorporated, she has recently been nominated to the National Advisory Board for the National Girls Institute. Now, this all said, Bianca is only 22 with an impressive record of achievements, which has made her an undeniable and formidable force to reckon. Welcome to the show, Bianca. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Tamara. I'm very well today.
Thank you for coming on. I guess my first question, because your resume is so impressive and just very awe-inspiring, my first question for you is, now the president has named you Champion of Youth for Women and Girls in STEM. Now, what does the initials STEM mean?
Well, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math.
Wow. That's quite a big acronym. So you have excelled in all these categories, I presume.
I'm excelling, but there's still a lot to learn, so yes.
Mm-hmm. You got to meet that learning curve, huh?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Now tell us a little bit about meeting the president and Mrs. Obama, and tell us, how was that, and was it everything that you hoped it would be? Tell us about that experience and just getting the information and notification that you were getting ready to be going to the White House. Tell us how you felt getting there, and just give us, in a nutshell, what this meant to you, and was it everything you hoped it would be?
Well, I was first nominated for the Champion of Change Award by Girls Incorporated, and I was a member of Girls Incorporated for about 9 years while I was in middle school and high school. So initially they nominated me, and they told me that they'd be submitting an application on behalf of me, and I'll find out soon whether or not I would receive the award. Maybe a week went by, and I got notification that I was actually selected as a Champion of Change, and I was very excited, somewhat a little embarrassed, and I just really didn't want to feel like, you know, there was a lot of burdens on me, or people may say certain things about me for the award. So I was a little hesitant to tell everyone. But as I began to think that, you know, it was a good thing that I was nominated, so I started to, you know, tell the Howe University community, my parents and everyone, just because I really have a passion for influencing girls and women in the STEM fields, because it can be done. My experience at the White House, I got a chance to interact with several White House representatives. The Obamas were not in attendance at the event, but just meeting a lot of the White House staffers, especially Ms. Valerie Jarrett, who did make an appearance at the event, was just very inspiring and just very encouraging that the Obama administration is really open and open-minded to putting work towards the STEM field, which would in turn help to increase the amount of engineers in this country, and so that we are able to compete globally across the world.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Now, you stated that you felt a little embarrassed. Is it because you're kind of shy, you didn't want all the attention, or you felt like other people may not have thought you were worthy of this? Because you know you have a record of a strong work ethic, so you know that more than likely you were deserving. What's the psychology behind that? Did you feel like the pressure of everybody would be condescending a little bit, like, why her, not me? Or tell me a little bit more about that psychology.
Yes, I really think that it's a combination of both. It's sort of a burden, because now, you know, when people see you, or like just walking on campus, people are like, hey, you know, you're the girl on the website, or I saw you here, or you got the award from the White House. It really just makes you hold yourself to a higher standard than you have before. Mm-hmm. So it's just making sure that day in and day out, that even when no one's looking, you're doing the right things, you're saying the right things, and you're making a good impression on the people that you meet. So I would say it's a combination of both.
Yes, because I can understand you having to be representable now more than ever, because you're kind of covering the internet quite a bit now. So let me ask you my next question about this, because you're getting a lot of attention because of what you're doing. So this is going to come with the territory as you get up there with the elite. So what I wanted to ask you next was, I was very, it was very interesting to find out that your mother died when you were very young and you had some adversities afterwards. Tell us what made you so determined, because I read that you said so eloquently that you had to create opportunities because of these adversities that were beset you before you even started getting on this academic roller coaster to pursue your dreams. So for people that are listening in that are in bad situations and may not see a way out, or for people that's out there struggling with their children and may not have the resources to put in front of them, from your perspective, of having a mother that died when you were young, and I think you said you were homeless, expand on what those adversities did to you and how it motivated you to succeed.
At the age of two, my mother, she was a victim of violence. She was shot and she was killed. That was a very tragic moment in my life, though I was only about 3 years old. That sort of... it kind of stays with you as you grow up as a young woman. You know, you don't have a mother around. But I did have a very strong and a very God-fearing father. And, you know, shortly after or during, after my mother passed, we were homeless for a while, and we did stay in downtown Dallas at Family Gateway. And I'm proud to say now that Family Gateway is still committed to helping those in the Dallas community that do not have shelter. And right now, my father is actually a board of trustees member on the Family Gateway Committee. So I'm proud of him for that, and as well as a Family Gateway for offering him that opportunity. But I really have to say that the center of how we came from, I guess, rags to riches, or my dad helped to get me and my siblings out of the situation we were, was definitely, it was God, and just depending upon him to lead us out of the situation that we were. And, you know, he got back on his feet, and now he is, he owns his own air conditioning company. It's called Trey Bay Heating, Ventilation, and Air Conditioning. And he owns his own business, and he does a lot of work around Dallas. And just looking at my father's work ethic, I'm much like him, and his work is his therapy. So I think that that work ethic has trickled down to me. So I just really take advantage of every opportunity that I have, even though some opportunities I may fail at, or I may not receive, or it looks like it's not going to work out, I still am committed, and I still apply for everything that I can so that I could achieve something better. I was also a part of Girls Incorporated, which was also a part of my life. And Girls Incorporated is an after-school program for girls that inspires them to be strong, smart, and bold. And Girls Inc. did just that with me. And they sort of replaced that mother role in my life that I did not have, and just instilled in me certain things, confidence, and speaking ability to be able to be the young lady that I have become today.
That is quite heart-stirring to me, because, like you said, I was very happy that you mentioned God was part of this equation for you and your family. And on top of that, you were eager to learn. And I think that's a great facet of your personality, is seeking these opportunities, because it looks like, just from your resume, and I see you're going other places, and we'll discuss that in just a moment, that you seek these opportunities diligently, and this is what keeps you going and keeps you on the right path. Now, this is my next question for you, Bianca. Now, you turned down a scholarship for music to pursue chemical engineering, but I heard your father had wanted you to be a doctor. Now, explain your ambitions and your drive as far as what compelled you to turn down the scholarship for music, not pursue medicine, but you went on to pursue engineering. Now, tell us a little bit how that transpired.
Well, I kind of always wanted to be sort of an engineer since I left Well, I graduated from high school, and I did come to Howard University. And my freshman year, I was involved in the Howard University Showtime Marching Band. But shortly after my freshman year, I made the decision to just decide to just to really focus on my engineering because that's what I had a passion for. And just being aware of the statistics of minority women, which are about 2% in the STEM workforce today, just seeing that big gap just presented a challenge to me that I wanted to take upon myself and just be one of those people that would help to fill that gap in the years coming forward. So I decided to, you know, put my love for music away for a while and just focus on my engineering. So that's where I am today.
Okay. Now, you have traveled to Kenya, Haiti, and you're planning, I read, a trip to Japan. Now, tell us about the excitement and what do you do when you go to these countries? Tell us how you feel going to these different foreign countries and meeting different people with different cultures. Tell us about the exciting and rewarding aspects of traveling to other countries outside the U.S.
For me, traveling is very exciting. It gives you fulfillment and joy out of life because not only are you seeing the world from, you know, a different perspective, but you get to meet people that are from that area and that hold true to their morals and their values. And so just being able to sit down with someone across the world and have a cup of tea and talk about the differences and the similarities that you guys may have together, it helps to create a different perspective when you're approaching problems, when you're approaching people or any type of situation. Not only do you have a one-mind track, but now you're able to look at something from different points of view. Traveling abroad gives you, or at least it gives me, a global perspective on the things that I do in my life. So whether it's my nanotechnology research or whether it's, you know, volunteering at Girls Incorporated, I make sure that whatever I do is able to be is able to impact people abroad and around the world.
Now, when you're over in these other countries, I think every girl wants to know, you know, there are necessities occasionally that you may have to do without. So was any of this severe? You know, like I've heard Tara ask someone one day when she was in another country, how was the hair braiding and the different hairs because you have to do without some things. So what were some necessities you felt that you had to do without in order to be in another country?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes you're going to be without electricity, you're going to be without heat, you're going to be without light. My first trip to Kenya, we ran out of water, so some of the house mothers had to go to a nearby tea plantation, get water for us to bathe in the morning. So I was taking a bath out of a bucket, so basically just splashing the water on my skin. So that was a different experience for me, definitely. A lot of the times malaria is something that is a high risk factor in some of the African countries. So bringing some off or taking your anti-malaria pills is very important. I know I just came back from Sudan, and the mosquitoes must have loved me because they bit me everywhere possible where my skin was showing. So it's definitely an adjustment, but you really have to be open-minded and able to just get through any little obstacle that you may have there. But it's overall a great experience.
Now, for young students and women, because I deal with a lot of young girls occasionally, and I know I'm getting ready for a pageant coming up where we'll be judging girls and young boys as well. And women can have many obstacles in their way if they grow up. We're fragile beings and we're very emotional. Now, for young students too in general, who would love to do what you're doing in engineering, but they hate math, or can't do math, what can you say to them as to how you've stayed focused, motivated, and passionate about the very difficult course loads in your college studies that you have to take? How can someone who's not good in math and have a fear of it become better?
The first thing that comes to my mind when you ask that question is your mindset. And I think the first thing in the Black community sometimes is because of the media, we see that maybe we're not capable of doing our best. We're not capable of being in math or science. So the first thing is just having the can do and I will do and I am good at this attitude. And first starting from your mental and then moving down to the actual physical where you put in a lot of practice and you put in a lot of work in order to accomplish what you thought you couldn't do. So for me, I don't think I'm highly intelligent, but because of that work ethic that I feel my father has passed down to me, I know that I can do anything I want to do or I put my mind to as long as I practice and make it sort of like a repetitive thing so that knowledge sticks to you and you don't forget it. So basically having the can-do mindset as well as the work ethic to go along with it, you can be good at math and improve.
That's a very good answer, very good answer. Now, explain to us, what is nanotechnology?
Okay, so nanotechnology is basically any technology or any device or particle or material that is sized all the way down to 10 to the negative 9th nanometer. So I, to give you a little bit clearer version, it's 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter.
Wow.
And so if you picture how big, I guess, the circumference of the Earth is, and you compare that to just a simple light bulb, the light bulb would be something that's nano, and then the Earth would just be something that you're comparing it to. So it's really, really small, something you cannot see with the naked eye that you need advanced machinery to look at. And so nanotechnology is in over 1,000 consumer products, that including paint, toothpaste, sunblock. It's also incorporated into basketballs, teddy bears, socks and pants. So nanotechnology is everywhere you look around, it's around you. We just, you know, we never thought about it before, but it does exist, and you deal with it every single day.
Well, tomorrow I'll be using a new phrase. I'm a nanotechnologist. Now that we have that cleared up. Okay, so you are graduating this summer, and you're going further to get your Ph.D. Tell us what you're getting your Ph.D. in.
So I decided that I want to get my Ph.D. in environmental engineering. Now, my major now is chemical engineering, but the research that I'm doing now is sort of environmental, and so I want to get into water issues and figuring out ways to address water issues on a developing area scale. So I'll major in environmental engineering with a focus on international development so that I can continue to go to places in Africa or just across the world that need just simple technology and help in purifying and filtering water.
So what has made you really be so serious, because you've taken engineering to more of a deeper level than some people do? It's not a sit-behind-the-desk type of thing that you're doing. It's a lot of hands-on work that you're actually doing. I know some of the photographs on the Internet show you doing some arduous task of cleaning and wiping things down over in some of the countries as you're trying to get this water supply done. And I think your experience in the bucket washing up probably has given you more of a motivation. So that's just, you know, pretty interesting. So what made you really want to get into the aspect of really giving back to communities? Because I really believe in ministry, and this is And there are many ministries out there, and this is definitely one, even though it's a career. What has made you really want to give back, being a young girl that started off losing so much?
I would definitely have to say that my past has definitely played into a lot of the reasons why I have sort of this service attitude. You know, just being homeless and, you know, having people there that helped along the way, I feel as though it's sort of my duty to sort of return the favor to those people that helped me and my family move along, as well as that being involved in Girls Incorporated. Several weekends out of the month, we would go and do community service projects as well. And just a combination of those things has allowed me to just be sort of like, just to want to reach out and to serve other people and to improve the quality of life for others, because people have done those things towards me in my life. So I just feel like it's my duty to do the same.
I'm so inspired. I'm speechless, because I do believe that God puts us in situations because that's how we're very effective. Is we know, and you knew how it felt to be lonely, to have things lacking around you, and wanting that void filled, and so you're trying to make it easier for the next person. Now, one of my last questions for you, Bianca, because I know you're in and out of class and you're in your dorm room trying to get things done. I know you have a very busy schedule from what you were telling me yesterday. Now, do you relax, or is it pretty much a relentless endeavor of work as you're pursuing your career, or do you rest sometimes and really just take a week or two off and do nothing? Because I read one of your quotes. You said, "We must do what we have to do what we want to do." And I know that came from the Great Debaters. I don't know who actually spoke that, but I saw that you loved one of my favorite quotes, that we must do what we have to do what we want to do. And so do you ever relax a little bit and just let your hair down and 2 weeks is nothing, I'm doing nothing? Or is it pretty much work and no play most of the time to do the big things and to make the big achievements you're doing?
Because I hold that quote so dear to me, my aunt told me that quote, I think it was spoken by Denzel off of The Great Debaters. But I 2 weeks break, no, I don't think that I rest as much as I should, or I take a break as much as I can, because I know that there are other people working maybe 10 times harder than me. So until I get to that level where, like, I can just breathe and relax, I have to continue to keep on working. Well, at least in my mind, I do, until I get to that next step. So just taking guidance from my father, I'm going to work until the job gets done or until I feel like I'm satisfied. So not satisfied quite yet, so I'm still working.
Well, I can say I've enjoyed speaking with you tonight. I know you've got to get back to your studies and work, and we definitely appreciate you taking out the time to speak with us about all your endeavors. It's very, very inspirational. I played the song Hero because you are a hero, and you will be. You are a heroine to quite a few people that you've never met before that are reading things about you on the internet. You just never know whose lives you are affecting, even though you're going to these different countries. You just never know who's coming across the information about you that will make them go a step further in their college career and afterwards. And I thank you for giving that and shining your light in that way.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you today.
Okay. Well, we are almost out of time. I have been delighted to have Bianca Bailey on the show today. I thank her for taking time, as I said, from her schedule for this discussion. To my listeners, it's so wonderful to hear from you through your emails and from social networks such as Twitter and LinkedIn and BE Insider. I appreciate all your emails. This is Real Talk with THB. Until next time, everyone, be blessed.
Good. Mm-hmm.